part of the reason why CBC has been really successful in this industry and is becoming a growing way of doing business is because it's hard to be innovative from the inside, and having an outside unit that's really focused on that allows you to really dig in and find interesting things to be innovative with. We also wanted to obviously do investment because we think part of it is there's great startups with great ideas, with amazing technology, but unless they're funded, unless they're helped along, they're not going to be successful. It's a really challenging industry to get into. And so our job is to help them, you know, figure it out.
Amy Burr is the president of JetBlue Technology Ventures, or JTV, the corporate venture capital unit of U.S.-based air carrier JetBlue. Amy has been at JTV since 2018 and assumed leadership of the unit last year. In our conversation, we speak about JTV's strategy, how its investment remit extends well beyond just aviation and focuses on travel as a whole, how having a CVC helps position JetBlue among its peers, and how corporates can better help the innovation ecosystem, among many other things. It seems clear to me that JTV has big plans for the road ahead, and I thoroughly enjoyed listening to Amy speak about them, and I'm sure you will too. So here we go. Amy Burr, welcome to the show, and thanks a lot for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me today.
Great. I figured we'd start off with a bit about yourself, really, about kind of your background. You've been at JTV for about 4 years now, is that right?
Well, I have been with JTV for 4 years. I was previously one of the managing directors on the team in charge of operations, kind of the innovation side, and I took over as president in July of last year.
Of last year, right. And previously you were at, I think, Virgin America and Continental Airlines, right?
Yes, that is correct.
How can you tell me a bit about how you kind of got into corporate venture capital?
Yeah, sure. Actually, you know, I have been in the airline industry for a really long time. I came out of my MBA program, went into Continental Airlines, did a couple different things there, but then joined Virgin America as a founder back in 2004, quite a long time ago, and spent 14 years there across the organization, helping launch the airline, as well as kind of ending up with helping to merge the airline into Alaska Airlines when it was purchased.
Right.
So that was kind of my role in the airline industry. I did everything from e-commerce and how you sell your tickets and strategy and all kinds of customer-facing technology, just a ton of different opportunities within the airline industry. But one of the things that I really spent quite a bit of time on is kind of the next generation of product, the next generation of technology that we can employ in our industry to kind of, you know, move the needle and make things more interesting. So after the merger with Alaska, I was looking for kind of my next opportunity, and I had been keeping an eye on JTV for quite a while, actually. JetBlue launched JetBlue Tech Ventures in 2016, and I thought, just how interesting is this kind of concept of really having an organization that's dedicated to looking for new tech in our industry, which, you know, technically, you know, the airline industry can be a pretty old school industry from a technology perspective. So it's been a little challenging over the years to really introduce new tech that can really move the needle. So I thought, hey, this is a really cool way to do this. And just about the time I was starting my job search, the role for managing director of operations came up, and I was very interested and reached right out to the folks I know at JetBlue and just, you know, wanted to talk to the team and Bonnie, as you know, Bonnie being the leader at the time, about the opportunity. So luckily, right away, I got an interview. And I think within like a week and a half or something like that, Bonnie offered me the role, which was perfect for me. And so she brought me in at that point. And that was my first time in any kind of venture capital type of role, which was really interesting. I've learned a lot about, obviously, the industry in 4 years. And she spent a lot of time with me over those years, kind of prepping me to be her successor within the organization. So that included learning this part of the organization. And, you know, I did, you know, learn quite a bit about venture capital, but a lot about startups and just that kind of whole ecosystem. So when Bonnie left and they were looking for a new president, I was ready for the position. So that's how I got into venture capital. That was kind of a long background story, but that's kind of my background.
Well, how's the team structured?
I think one of the things that really makes JetBlue Tech Ventures really successful is how we have actually structured the team, between both having really strong venture capital professionals on board, as well as folks that are very familiar with our industry. And that part of the team is really, we call it the operations team, which is maybe a little bit of a misnomer, but they are really responsible for the innovation side of it and the strategic value side of our business. They bring startups that they find into JetBlue and figure out the right way to engage with our organization. the venture capitalists are looking for the best deals for us, and they're making really great deals with amazing startups. And that's what their role is constantly. The two work super closely together in order to actually bring the value that we bring to JetBlue and JetBlue Travel Products and a host of partners we have as well. So I think that's been very successful, having both VC professionals, kind of investment professionals, as well as industry professionals that can come together and really figure out which startups are going to provide the most value.
And what about the fund itself? How's that structured? Are you guys on balance sheet? Is it a kind of evergreen structure or more of a closed-end fund?
We are balance sheet investors. So we invest off the balance sheet of JetBlue. We kind of look at it as, you know, JetBlue has been very good to dedicate chunks of money to us over the course of our existence. And we look at it on a fund, like kind of a fund year, so to speak. We do, each year we have a bucket of money that we spend on investments that we do invest off the balance sheet, but we kind of have a dedicated amount of money. And so that's kind of how we structure it. So we are 6 years old. We are now, this is now our, you know, 2022 fund, so to speak. I say the word fund, but maybe that's a little bit misleading because we don't seek out external money. We have a single LP, so to speak. We do invest off the balance sheet of JetBlue.
And are you at liberty to say kind of how much dry powder you have to work with currently?
You know, we really don't talk about that much. It can be a little bit sensitive, you know, obviously
no
in the airline industry.
No,
that I can talk about how many investments we've done, like just the total. Over the course of 6 years, we've made 38 new investments. So a huge number. Like, you know, we really are seeking to do, call it 10 to 15 investments a year. So we definitely have enough funds to kind of make that a reality. Last year in 2021, we invested in 10 new companies and did 3 follow-ons. So I think the fund amounts that we're given by JetBlue are definitely sufficient for us to find really great deals and to be a very active investor. And we definitely spend a lot of time with our existing portfolio companies and always plan to do follow-on investments where it makes sense, and it almost always does, you know. So I feel like we have enough to really be impactful.
Well, your portfolio, looking at it, it includes companies working in things as varied as multimodal AI or hydrogen-powered flights, customer service, payments, and more. Can you talk a bit about your origination strategy? You know, what makes you look at a company or a founder and say, we got to have that one?
You know, it is our portfolio companies are quite varied. We actually invest across 5 themes. We invest in anything that is travel related. So we're not tied to only the airline industry. It's anything that is travel related. So as a traveler, think about your entire journey, right? From the moment you leave your house until the moment you return back to your house, anything within that world we would invest in. So we do try to structure it around the 5 themes that we have. They are, you know, seamless customer journey, reimagining the accommodation experience. So anything within the hospitality world and how that's been shifting over the years. Next gen aviation operations, of course. Well, we also do some enterprise tech. We focus a little bit on loyalty, distribution, and revenue, which is definitely a travel industry sweet spot. Like, how do you sell your tickets and what do you sell? And how are you going to get revenue out of your entire product offering? But then lastly, and probably most importantly for the last couple of years, has been the sustainability track. And that's, you know, really focused on how do you change an industry that has traditionally not been the cleanest of industries. You know, we're an airline, we do have a pretty high carbon footprint. We have very, you know, ambitious goals to become carbon net zero. And there's a lot of investment in technology that is needed to actually move the needle there. So we have been spending quite a bit of time on sustainability. So our first measure of kind of first checkbox, so to speak, is do they fit within these themes? And then the next checkbox probably is, are they the right stage for us? We do consider ourselves an early stage investor. What that really means is that we invest in mostly seed and series A. We don't really do pre-seed anymore. We think that it's more important that a company has kind of a minimum viable product in order for us to actually be helpful to them. You know, part of what we can, you know, what we look to do is be a help to the portfolio companies we bring in. We can, you know, we consider ourselves a very strategic investor for them as well. So if it's too early stage, then that's too early for us to really be impactful. So seed, series A, maybe series B, that's kind of our sweet spot. So that's our next checkbox. Is it the right stage for us? And then, you know, what we're looking for is really a great team, our smart founder who has brought in the right people who have the right perspective to make things successful, a good plan, solving an interesting problem in a unique way. You know, there's a lot of problems to be solved in our industry and the travel industry in general. There's a lot of opportunity. But, you know, we're looking for people that are solving things in ways that are unique and different and we think will be successful. So those are a couple of things we look at when we actually talk to our startups. And then, you know, of course, we're always looking, we're a VC firm. We want the right deal. So we're looking for the right valuation. We're looking for the right terms. You know, there's some things here and there that are deal breakers for us. So we definitely do look at the deal itself as well. So lots of things.
Yeah. And which of those investment themes would you say you're perhaps, you know, more excited about, or which has JTV been training its focus on recently, perhaps more than others?
Definitely sustainability has been our biggest focus lately. We've invested in several sustainability kind of tech companies over the last year, call it year or two. That's definitely an opportunity where we can help JetBlue for the long term. You know, JetBlue is spending a lot of time right now figuring out their strategy on how they reach their net carbon zero goals nearer term. And a lot of it's around SAF and, you know, maybe, you know, has been traditionally carbon offsetting, but like, you know, we're trying to move away from that. How do you start to move the needle with more, you know, a lot of it around sustainable aviation fuel? Our focus is how can we find technology and help fund it and help develop it that will help JetBlue in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years to continue that trend of building the strategy around sustainability. So a lot of the companies we look at in this space might be a little bit further out in the time horizon. We do invest on 3 time horizons, which is another kind of piece that we look at. And so they tend to be a little bit more 5, 7, 10 years out, but they're really things that will be, you know, will move the needle for JetBlue in the long term. So that's been a lot of our sustainability push. Some of our other things that we're really excited about for 2022, you know, include self-service technology. How can the airline industry and the travel industry in general really meet that need that folks have? You know, coming out of COVID, folks, they want to be able to talk to somebody when they can or when they have to, but they really want to just self-service themselves. They want to be able to do everything on their phone and they want to be able to like breathe on through without really a lot of touch points. And self-service technology has been around for a really long time, but is really gaining in importance. So that's a piece we're looking at right now quite a bit. Probably those are our 2 biggest focuses right now, but you know, we're always open to good opportunities. Across our entire theme structure, we are definitely always looking for good startups.
On the topic of sustainability, JetBlue is, if I'm not mistaken, is it the only US airline whose domestic flights are carbon neutral through offsetting? Is that right?
That's a good question, and I should know the answer right off the top of my head, and I don't. But I do know that JetBlue have committed to being completely carbon neutral for all of their flying, all their domestic flying as of right now. In fact, I think they were the first. JetBlue, we were the first who put that out as a goal. There are others who are doing really great work in this space too. And I should know the exact answer, but I don't. I apologize. But it's been a really important thing for JetBlue, and they have been very focused on making sure we're net carbon zero as much as we can be.
It's obviously already one of your investment pillars at JTV. How much of that focus on sustainability is, if any, directly downstream of JetBlue's kind of wider carbon offset strategy?
Yeah, you know, like I said, a lot of what we focus on is the stuff that's the next generation for their strategy. So, you know, they're focused on kind of things that they can move the needle on right now, things like carbon offsetting, they're, you know, all flying, things like increasing our sustainable aviation fuel, so SAF, you know, opportunities. But we're really focused on kind of what is the next thing. So we're looking at things like direct air capture to fuel. So how can we pull carbon out of the air and actually create a sustainable jet fuel out of that? And we made an investment not long ago that will be announced soon in that space. We're looking at alternative propulsion systems. So hydrogen, how are we going to use hydrogen in the airline industry? How are we going to use electric battery technology in the airline industry? We just announced literally last week our investment in Electric Power Systems, which is a battery technology company. So we're starting to think about those types of things that will help JetBlue in the long term or JetBlue's partners in the long term while they're still focused on, you know, really trying to move the needle on SAF and carbon offsetting and things like that.
Could you go a bit more into depth about your kind of 3 time horizons and how you kind of determine which portfolio company slots into which?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. That's a big piece of the way we do business is, you know, around this time horizon perspective, because I consider us very much a hybrid CVC. You know, in the scale of are you a strategic or are you a financially focused CVC, we're very much a hybrid, and it's because of our time horizons and the way we look at them. So anything that we think is a startup and a technology that can be used immediately in the 0 to 18 month kind of time horizon, those are the ones that are most applicable and most strategic to JetBlue immediately, right? So we're looking for not necessarily a business partner agreement, but we're definitely looking for proof of concept commitment and, you know, a business unit within JetBlue to say, yes, this is something that we're really excited about. So those things that we invest in that kind of time horizon are very immediately strategic for JetBlue. The next time horizon is kind of the 2 to 5 year mark. And that, you know, that bucket is more technology that we think will be very, very valuable again in the 2 to 5 year mark, but isn't something that is immediately going to be ingested. That gives us the opportunity to kind of branch out a little bit and like think a little bit longer term and say, hey, these things will be important for the industry in a couple years as they develop. So let us invest in them and help them along and help them solve these problems because of our industry knowledge and our industry expertise, help them develop their product to something that will be used by JetBlue at some point. But there's no need, there's no requirement for a JetBlue business partner to sign off on that deal. So that gives us the ability to kind of invest beyond what is immediately only strategic. The last bucket is a very small percentage. So the middle bucket's about 50% of our investment. So quite a bit of the things we invest in, quite a number of the things we invest in are a little bit further out for us. And then the last bucket is a small bucket. It's 10% of what we're looking for is longer term horizon. It's 7 to 10 years out. It's something that is going to be disruptive to the industry. It's not going to be something immediately we can figure out a way to use. You know, people might ask, why are you investing in this? Because we think that the future of the industry is this technology. When we invested in Joby Aviation and eVTOL back in 2017, it fell squarely into that bucket because we're thinking it will eventually change how we all travel individually within, you know, kind of the space of our travel and, you know, like ribbon, so to speak, the travel environment we and experience we have. It will change part of that, right? And so as an airline, we want to be ahead of that disruption and we want to understand how that's going to work with us and how we can take advantage of this great technology. And so that's why we invest in those types of things. So we have a seat at the table. We help them develop in the long term. How can we kind of be involved in that as opposed to catching up when it eventually, you know, goes live? So that's how we think about our time horizons. You know, of course, we're looking for financial returns as a CVC. And I think we just try to make really great deals that we think have exit possibilities that are clear and real. And that is what returns our financial, you know, kind of our financial return for our companies. Our portfolio has done really well to date where, you know, our value has been really good. And we've had a few exits and that's been really amazing. So we try to skirt the balance between being strategically focused as well as financially focused.
And when you say, you know, 50% in the middle bucket, 10% in the further bucket, is that in terms of deal count or in terms of investment volume, like ticket size?
It's mostly in terms of, it's actually a really good question and one we're really tracking more and more lately. Traditionally, it's been number of deals. So just the number of deals that we put into each of those buckets has been important. We're starting to think about it more in the perspective of like the volume of investment.
Typically speaking, which one of those three buckets would receive like the bigger ticket size?
I don't think it's necessarily different between the three. We make investments in each of those three buckets that are equally as big or small. And we haven't traditionally talked a ton about our check size, but you know, we may make, you know, $1, $2, $3 million investments in any one of those buckets. I think the difference is when you invest in something that is 7 to 10 years out, especially something that's doing well, over the course of time, you may make more investments in those portfolio companies, right? And so the volume that you invest in some of those might be a little bit bigger because the follow-ons, you know, they continue to have rounds that you want to follow on in and their exit timeline might be a little longer versus something that's so well developed, you know, that is the 0 to 18 timeframe. Those companies are moving further along in their path, and maybe we just make less investments in them only because they exit quicker. I don't know. Maybe, you know, it'll be interesting to see if the data holds true to that. But we don't think of it as our bigger checks are the 7 to 10 or our bigger checks are the 0 to 18. We think of we make good deals and we look for we'll do the appropriate check size per deal depending on what it is. It just may be that, you know, if we've been in a company for a really long time, we just have more follow-ons with them.
And you mentioned Joby Aviation earlier, and that kind of lines up something else I wanted to ask you about, and that is, to what extent do you typically look to continue relationships beyond the investment horizon? So for listeners unfamiliar, Joby Aviation, as you mentioned, is a eVTOL, you know, electric vertical takeoff and landing kind of air taxi vehicle developer based in the US, which last year went public in a SPAC merger, last August, if I'm not mistaken, but not before forging a partnership with JetBlue. So is that the kind of long-term relationship that you ideally look for going into an investment?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, our focus or our expectation is that we will help a company like that develop, help with our expertise, you know, as they move along their development cycle, fund them as they move along their development cycle. And, you know, the goal is, you know, that ultimately they become a partner, you know, and maybe long-term, you know, if they exit from a public perspective, you know, maybe we're not a shareholder in a public company in the future, but maybe we're a partner instead. Maybe we're both, you know, but definitely our goals there are more, how can we partner with these interesting companies for the long term? So our goal when we invested in Joby was not, hey, this is a really cool company doing really great things, and hopefully someday they'll exit and bring us financial returns. Yes, of course, we would love that. Our goal was, how can JetBlue be a partner of Joby to help our customer experience and our customer travel opportunities, like in the long term, right? And so that's the next step, is kind of thinking about, as they start to plan what their, you know, their structure looks like and how, you know, what they're going to launch, you know, when they are officially certified and ready to launch customer facing service, you know, how does JetBlue partner with them in those ways? So that's always the goal. It doesn't always work out. Sometimes we invest in really great companies that we believe in, and they ultimately do not become a partner of JetBlue. But at the same time, even if that's the case, we've learned a lot over the course of our time with them. We've had the opportunity to influence how that piece of business develops over time. And that's important. It's important for us to make sure that we are a leader, an innovation leader in this industry.
Absolutely. And how do you determine what constitutes a strategic opportunity? You kind of touched on this a bit earlier, but especially if it's not necessarily aviation related. So if you look at, for example, Mazio or Betterez, if I'm pronouncing those correctly, I hope I am, which are mainly focused on ground transportation, though obviously that does connect to air transportation. Where do you determine what is sufficiently, for lack of a better term, aviation tangential to be strategic for JetBlue?
Yeah, totally. That's a big piece for us. We are not just focused on the airline industry. We're focused on travel. And sometimes the things that we choose are strategic for travel in general, and maybe less kind of directly strategic for JetBlue Airways. Now, here's I think one of the keys and why this has been such a success for JetBlue, you know, both from a JetBlue Tech Ventures, but also just how JetBlue has developed their strategy over time. JetBlue is very focused at this stage in the game of becoming more of a general travel provider and less just an airline, right? Not that it's just an airline. Airline's amazing, right? And we love our airline. But, you know, it's exciting to be able to offer more within the travel ecosystem for our customers. So JetBlue actually has a second subsidiary called JetBlue Travel Products, and they spend a lot of time on how they can offer interesting, compelling travel-related products to our customers, maybe separate from the airline. So you can actually book a hotel and get a car rental and things like that without actually booking an airline ticket with JetBlue. And you do it through this path that JetBlue Travel Products has created, and a tool that they, you know, a really great tool that they've created called Paisly. So we're always thinking about, how does JetBlue become a bigger travel provider and make sure that we're kind of within that kind of a whole ecosystem. So that's part of it. And the other part of it is JetBlue Tech Ventures. You know, again, our mission is just to make travel better for everybody, to make travel better in all ways, in every aspect of travel. So we definitely think beyond just what is strategic for the airline. We focus a lot on what's strategic for the airline, but we also focus a lot on what's strategic for other parts of travel. And we want to make sure that those things also are successful, and that we have an opportunity to kind of engage with those types of companies. So like the reimagining the accommodation experience theme is a big deal for us, you know, beyond kind of what Airways would traditionally provide. And we've made a couple really great investments in that space. You know, one in Turnkey, which was actually purchased by Vacasa, which actually went public. So that's great. And that's a partner for JetBlue Travel Products. And then another, you know, in a company called Transparent, which actually is a data insight company for short-term rentals. And they were actually just recently purchased by OTA Insights, which is also doing that same thing, but more for hotels. So, you know, definitely thinking beyond, you know, and how can we help the accommodation side of the business grow as well?
And that's really interesting. And that kind of partially answers something else I wanted to ask, which is if you look at, you know, so there are some other airlines that have CVC units. So you look at, you know, American, IAG, United, Alaskan Airlines launched theirs not too long ago. I think EasyJet does some venturing activity as well, although they're focused a lot more on Europe, obviously. What kind of advantage does having a CVC give an air carrier? And in particular, how does it help JetBlue kind of position itself in the lower cost segment of the market?
Yeah, you know, I think it's actually been very helpful for the industry to start thinking about these things. I'm really excited that we have so many great airlines venturing into this space. So the way we think about it is running an airline is very challenging, as I'm sure you can imagine. There's constantly things that you're trying to deal with. IROPS, weather, you know, complexity. It's the industry that every economic issue impacts, like fuel prices are through the roof right now. Like there's just COVID was, you know, obviously such a challenge. It is a very challenging industry. And so what our board realized back in 2016, or actually, I guess, 2015, as they started to have this conversation, is that JetBlue has always been very innovative as an airline in this industry. They launched in 2000 as a very innovative new product. But it's really, really hard for the people who work at JetBlue every single day to think about what's the next new innovation when they have to run the operation. The operation always is the most important, of course, always the most important to make sure that we're flying our flights and that our customers are comfortable and that everything is operating safely and on time and that we're getting baggage where it needs to go and we're selling our tickets. All of those things are really so complex that it's hard for the people who work at the actual airline to think about what's the next kind of generation of technology that will change how we do business. So our board decided to make it our innovation focus a separate unit, JTV. And we are a subsidiary, obviously, but we run ourselves very separately. We don't have any operational responsibility. We're not embedded in the airline from that perspective. We are complementary to the airline. And so that allows us to spend all of our time thinking about what this new technology will do for the airline. How can we use startups in creative ways to change how we do business, to meet future strategic needs, to change pain points, whatever it might be? Because we spend all of our time on that, that allows us to really dig in and bring that stuff forward and try new things at the airline, where the folks at the airline are really focused on getting their job done and making sure that everything's running smoothly. So I think that's part of the reason why CVC has been really successful in this industry and is becoming a growing way of doing business, is because it's hard to be innovative from the inside, and having an outside unit that's really focused on that allows you to really dig in and find interesting things to be innovative with. We also wanted to obviously do investment because we think part of it is there's great startups with great ideas, with amazing technology, but unless they're funded, unless they're helped along, they're not going to be successful. It's a really challenging industry to get into. And so our job is to help them, you know, figure it out and help them develop a roadmap that is actually going to meet real problems and do it in a way that can plug in and all of those things. So that's, I think, the reason why a CVC is a really great opportunity. You know, innovation work, you know, investment and helping these startups, those things are really important. So I think, you know, you're seeing some of our competitors figure that out for themselves as well and create units that are very similar. And that's great. It's great for the industry. Anything that moves the industry along from an innovation perspective is good for all of us. And that's the way we look at it. As we know, CVC, you know, VC, the VC community is a little bit more closely knit and friendly than maybe the airline industry is. But we're so, you know, people are like, oh, you know, United Ventures, what are you, you know, does that bother you? And I'm like, no, this is great. We're all in this together. We're all funding really amazing startups that will be successful and that will change, you know, how we do business as an industry. And that's fantastic.
Well, to that end, what do you think that corporates can do to kind of help, you know, the CVC ecosystem and the innovation and startup ecosystem along more than they already are?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that's what part of the benefit, obviously, of being a corporate venture capital firm is venture capital firms do a great job of helping their portfolio companies as well. But this is our industry. We know it better than anybody, right? And our job here is to help these startups who are, you know, again, brilliant, have amazing technology, but they're not from the industry generally. It's actually pretty rare that we meet a startup that actually has serious experience in the airlines or in the hospitality world or whatever it might be. They're just travelers who have brilliant ideas and are really smart people who can create a startup to solve a problem that they see. And that's great. We need that. The problem is they need somebody to help translate how they actually move into the industry. And that's what we're here for. We know the complexities of the regulatory environment. We know the complexities of the legacy technology stack. We understand some of the things that are harder for business units to ingest than others. And so we're here to help these startups along. I think that's true in any industry. I'm speaking mainly about our industry, of course, but any industry, having a corporate involved with a startup, that's their job, is to help them translate and figure out how to work with that industry. And that's very true in an industry that is as complex as the airline industry. So I think that's, you know, probably the biggest benefit we bring to our startups. And we try to explain that to startups as we're making relationships with various startups. You know, that's why we're considered a strategic investor, because we're here to help you. We're here to help you be successful. And that is a big piece of what we do.
And looking at your industry, how do you kind of assess the relationship between, in terms of investment, between investing in the technology itself, so something like Joby, and then the enabling technology? So maybe, you know, for flying taxis, for example, that might be enhanced air traffic control systems or the electrification systems that you would need to underpin it. How do you look at the prospects of investing in each one of those? Is one more important than the other? Is it a bit of a chicken and the egg scenario, or how do you look at it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. That's a really interesting question. I don't know that we think about it that directly, but we definitely like opportunities that kind of really fulfill the whole chain, right? To your point. Like for Joby, for example, one of the things that a lot of investors are thinking about right now who have invested in eVTOL is infrastructure like vertiports, right? Where a person may come and get the eVTOL. So there's a lot of investment in that space. And we haven't invested in that space because it doesn't quite fit our kind of our investment thesis, but we have invested in a company that helps, you know, this is, it's kind of a tangential type of technology. They help cities track and manage traffic around, especially ride shares and scooters and bikes. And how do you manage kind of all of that activity from a, you know, a curb perspective, a curb management perspective? And that same company could very well be the company that helps manage eVTOL in a city. So those are some of the things that we think about when we look at companies. How could they help a different space that we're already invested in? We're invested in a company called Universal Hydrogen, and it isn't, they're not actually creating hydrogen that goes into an aircraft. They're creating the way that you will plug hydrogen into an aircraft. So it's a little bit more of a logistics side of the business. Like, how do you actually figure out how to take hydrogen and put it into an aircraft? How do you do a conversion kit that makes a regular aircraft be able to take hydrogen? So that part of that bit side of the business is really important. Like, how are we going to be able to do that? It's not just about having hydrogen. It's about how you use it, right? And so some of the investments we do are around the how you use it piece. And certainly if we have opportunities where it's like, okay, we've invested in, you know, electric aircraft, and now we want to invest in the how you use the electric battery, then yeah, that's really a great fit for us. We don't necessarily drive our investment or see, you know, how we seek out investments in that way. But if we find them, that's really great.
And well, hydrogen is definitely something that's been exploding in the last couple of years. So anything related to that is definitely on the way up, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
Looking back, how have the challenges that you've typically had to encounter evolved over the years? You know, for example, aviation and travel have been, obviously, you'll know this, amongst, you know, the hardest hit sectors during the COVID-19 pandemic, which is pretty much the mother of all black swan events.
Yeah.
How has that kind of affected JTV's strategy or outlook or approach?
You know, it hasn't really changed much about how we do our business. Obviously, we took a small pause during the really hard, like right at the beginning, you know, when things were really crazy and the airline industry was just rocked by the immediate drop off of demand. And instead of spending our time thinking about what we're going to invest in at that point, we spent our time thinking about how can we help JetBlue from a technology perspective manage better during this time. Because we have both sides of our organization and both sides are so important, sometimes, you know, one side is a little bit more important than the other. And during that time, you know, we spent a lot of time on the innovation side. We, you know, did deep dives into health technology, safety, security, like cleaning, health passports, and should we do something like that? And we tried out all kinds of crazy stuff like UV technology to clean the aircraft. And, you know, how do we help JetBlue figure this out in a way that makes customers feel really good about flying during a time that is really challenging? So we spent a lot of time with JetBlue, you know, kind of during that early part of the COVID kind of pandemic, you know, lockdown, thinking about innovation as opposed to thinking about what we'll invest in immediately. And then, you know, when the time was right, we were right back into investing things that were important to us and to JetBlue and to the industry in general. So we haven't changed kind of how we focus on our investments. For a little while, it was a little bit change on things we were looking at. I mean, certainly some of the things that we looked at in 2020, early 2020, are not things we would invest in. There really were more strategically kind of innovative things for JetBlue. But I would say there's a couple categories that really came out of COVID, or as we're coming out of COVID, that have been really important from an investment perspective. It really highlighted how important sustainability tech was for us. Into late 2020 and into 2021, we were thinking about kind of what sustainability tech is the right sustainability tech to invest in, because it became such an important thing, you know, as people started to realize, you know, we can move this needle. And then self-service tech is something that I think has grown out of COVID as well. And that will be places that we invest, some in 2021 and moving into 2022. That's definitely been something we've been looking at.
Speaking of, what do the next, you know, couple of years, or what does the coming year or two hold for JTV? What does the pipeline look like, and what are you most looking forward to?
You know, we're really excited about a lot of things. We just recently joined a fund as an LP, which was a big deal for us. It is climate tech focused. So again, really doubling down on our sustainability theme. That was really exciting. It's kind of the next step in our evolution. We are just looking for some really great, interesting startups in our themes, but definitely starts, as I mentioned earlier, sustainability, self-service tech, some of those things. I think one of the things that's going to really grow in importance this year is going to be how we can use our data. The industry has a ton of data and we do a terrible job of using it. So how can we use our data in a more, you know, kind of efficient and better way to make operational decisions? So think about how do you use data to be better at tech ops and maintenance, and, you know, predictive maintenance has been around for a little while, and how do you like really dig into that? And how do we use data on improving our operations at the airport? And so a lot of those types of things I think will be really interesting to look at this year. So we have a lot that we're excited about, but we've hit the ground running this year and it's been really good.
Well, I, for one, cannot wait to see what you guys do next. Thanks so much, Amy, for speaking to me today, and the very best of luck to you and everyone at JTV.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me today. It's been a great conversation.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks very much.